It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 310. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics and a way to enter contests. So we got lots of things to talk about. The email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I have a good voicemail I'm going to be playing. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And Kate let me know that it's a long wait before you hear the beep. So just give it time. I'll have to look into that. I may have to re-record my message. It seems like it's a long, like 20 seconds, 25 seconds before the beep happens. So just be patient. You can follow me on Twitter and we'll talk more about that where we're going to have a contest around my Twitter account, and that's twitter.com/MikeTechShow. And also the wiki is mtswiki.com. We're going to announce the winner of the computer business kit. I have another contest that I'm going to talk about later in the show. And don't forget about the contest over at podcastmadness.com. Where if you enter the code MADNESS right now, you can enter to win lots of great prizes over there. So tonight's show, I have a story, just a quick little story that I want to share with you. Then I have a voicemail, email, great stuff. Anytime I can avoid getting in my car and driving to a meeting, boy, that's what I want to do. The best way to hold online meetings is GoToMeeting. And I have a presentation next week that I am collaborating with for a client. And we're going to demonstrate software for doing document management and imaging. And we're going to use GoToMeeting to demonstrate that with my client. And I know that I'm going to be able to close that deal using GoToMeeting. It is the best online service that you could possibly imagine. I use it for my meetings and I love it. I wouldn't be talking about it for this many years, this passionately, if I didn't believe in it and I didn't use the product. And for one flat rate, for $49 a month, you can hold unlimited meetings online. And if you're using that for your business, then that's an expense that you can write off too. So keep that in mind. You can try it free for 30 days. All you have to do is go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast to get your free 30-day trial. Most of you know that Apple announced the iPhone 4, the G4, I guess, or whatever it's the iPhone 4, that's going to be coming out towards the end of the month. So, of course, I took a look at the keynote the next day. And like any current iPhone user, I was salivating over the new features. I want one. Now, my wife has an old Razer phone, and we're all on the AT&T plan. So I tell Dorothy, I said, you know, she's been talking. Boy, I guess I should think about a smartphone. And, hey, how come I don't have an iPhone? She mentioned once. I said, well, now you can. How about if you take my iPhone and I get an iPhone 4. So I said, all right. She's, let me take a look. And I said, here. And I unlocked the iPhone and I said, here, try it out. Try some of my apps. Play with it. That sounds innocent. Here, just play with it. What damage could someone do with just playing with the iPhone? Well, Anybody who's an iPhone user, you will know and relate to the following. When she says, how come all of the icons are dancing? And she says, as I'm moving them and playing with them, they're going all over the place. I said, no, stop. Well, I might have been a little harsher than that. And I quickly whisked the iPhone out of her hands and proceeded to look at how quickly someone can relocate all of the iPhone, all of the icons, how quickly that can happen. And I never thought of that, that if you hold one of, if you depress and hold one of the icons for an extra few seconds, they start dancing so you can slowly relocate them. Every icon was moved. And they even moved between pages. The fixed icons at the bottom were gone. My mail icon, where is it? I'm looking for mail. I remember spending hours laying out all of my current pages and my current icons that were gone. They were just all over the place. Now, they weren't gone forever. I was able to move them all back and get them in order. And I can't believe that so much damage so quickly. I'm just glad none of them were deleted. And luckily, you can't delete the core icons. Like, if you tried to delete the mail icon, you couldn't. Reliant says Apple needs a system restore. There is a system restore. I could have restored it, provided everything was backed up recently. Well, if you were listening before the show tonight, we were talking about my troubles with Outlook 2010, no, excuse me, Office 2010 64-bit and how we've been unable to sync lately with iTunes. And I believe it's because I went to the 64-bit version of Office 2010. That's another story for a later show. So it's not backed up to the most recent backup. And I don't even know if I could restore if I wanted to because of my current problem that I'm having. So all was not lost. I was able to put everything back and I learned a valuable lesson that I wanted to share with you. To a non-iPhone user, be very careful putting your iPhone in their hands. That's all I got to say. Because we know as users what it can do and how easy it is to make changes. And look how easy it is for someone to accidentally, just innocently make all those changes. Couple things. I would like to read the winner of the computer business kit. And that is Kate, who is a longtime listener, and she is a fellow computer consultant, and this is her entry, and she says, thanks for working with TechNibble on a free business kit. I could really use one. Several years ago, when my husband and I started our business, we had a lot of time to sit down in front of a blank screen or a Word template and create our own forms and letters. Now, thanks in part to the little things I've learned on the Mike Tech Show, we are far too busy to do that. We are actually making a go of this and need to save time on the administrative end. I think Bryce's kit would really help us stay organized and look even more professional than we do now. Keep up the good work, Kate. Kate, congratulations. And I'll tell you what, as soon as I'm done recording, I will forward you the kit via email. So thank you very much. And with that, Kate has a story she wants to share.
Hi, Mike. It's Kate Ster. Katie Eels calling from up here in Canada. Sorry about those flyers. I wish I could wish you better luck for your baseball season, but I'm a Cardinals fan, so we're not going to go there. Hey, listen, I ran into something this week and found an answer for it, and I thought that maybe some of your other listeners might be interested. I was installing Microsoft Office Small Business 2003 on a new Windows 7 computer because they want Outlook, and that's what they had lying around. So I installed it, and all that went well, except that every single time I opened Outlook or any of the other programs in Microsoft Office, the EULA would pop up, and I had to agree to it every time, no matter what program, no matter how many times, and it's a legal copy, all properly registered and everything. I'd never encountered that before, but in trying to solve it, I found a KB article from Microsoft. I'll send you the link in an email. And it turns out that this has affected versions of Office, and starting with Word 2000 and heading right on to Office 2007. And it's a big, fat registry hack that fixes it. You have to go to a registry key and change the permissions. It was very exciting. It worked great. And like I say, I think other people might find it useful. So I will send you the link. Thanks, Mike. Take care.
Kate, thank you for that tip, because I know there will be many that will run into that. And that's a great tip. I'm going to have the link that she mentioned in the show notes. They're the kind of tips I love sharing, and a great example of if you run into something that you solve, record it, send me an email, send me the link, share that, because that's how we learn. Sharing those stories, they're the stories that I want to share. Or when you have a problem with a client or even yourself, and you send in your question, I'll read it, and you know we get great answers. I'll do my best. I'll give you my opinion, and then I'll share everybody else's opinion. And that's how it works, and that's what this is all about. It's a great collaboration between you and me. I always say I'm the broker between the problems and the solutions, and that's what this show's all about. Kate, thank you very much for sharing that, and thanks for all your contributions, and enjoy the kit, and please let me know. I know Kate is a list person like I am, and she is extremely organized, so I'll be curious as to what forms of the kit that you end up implementing. And that would be that'll be great. And please share that with us. And I know Bryce would love that. Let's get to some email here. This is from Dave from Florida. And he says, recently found your podcast and started listening around podcast 297. Well, thank you very much. It's a great show and looking forward to each one. I have a question about updating computers at home. I have two laptops. My wife has one and the kids have a desktop and a laptop. While I don't like to have the MS Auto update set to always update, I like to see what is being installed. Recently, I have not had a lot of time to check each one and update. Is there an easier way I can update them? I work for a communications company, and since we all connect to a domain controller, the IT department pushes updates and patches when we log in. Is it possible to create that type of environment at home? Do you have an easier way to update without going to each PC? Thanks, and looking forward to future podcasts, and keep up the great support and information. AutoPatcher is probably the best, and Paul LaForge129 just mentioned that in the chat, and I have implemented and recommended AutoPatcher, where you can... You still got to, each machine has to go to it and connect. So you need one machine that has a share on your peer-to-peer network. Download AutoPatcher, keep it updated, and then all the machines can just go to that one place and update it after you approve of the updates and add them to AutoPatcher. So that's probably the easiest solution in a home environment, where you create one share with all the updates. AutoPatcher is simple to use, and I'll have a link to it. And you can just Google the word AutoPatcher, and I think that's the best solution. If you have other solutions other than that, hey, let me know and I will cover them. This is from Tyler. He says, how are you? Hey, I got a question about obtaining licensing for Microsoft Office. I have a few small business clients that need a few copies of Office, but when we get the quotes, it is terribly expensive for all 12 computers. Do any places exist where we could get licenses at bulk discount or where I could purchase them at a wholesale? Do you know of anything? Mike, thanks for all you do. Unless you're a reseller and you can purchase from places like Tech Data and places like that, Ingram, I believe, is another one. Unless you are a reseller, you're not going to get great discounts. The best place that I always look is Newegg and Amazon and see what's there and see what prices you can get. But unfortunately, and I just had to do this for a client, Microsoft Office is expensive. And when you need the licenses, you're not allowed to use the student license in a corporate environment or the, you know, the educational version. You're not allowed. And that's where you can get significant discounts. And unless you are a not-for-profit organization, you're going to have to pay the piper and pay that Microsoft fees for Office, unfortunately. I don't know of any other way of saving money other than just looking online from a reputable reseller and getting the best price that you can get. This is from Jorge, and he is doing computer repair, and he sent an example of a customer loyalty program for a coupon for $10 off that he sends to his clients. And I wanted to share that because that's a great idea. For me, it doesn't work with my retainer clients and my corporate clients. Offering a discount like that, it's not going to help them. But if you're dealing with a lot of end users, and maybe there were occasional users that you have their email, hey, that's a great way to get them back in and say, hey, you know, here's a coupon, $10 off. And I think that's a great idea. And I wanted to share that for helping, increase your business. This is from Tim. And this is about Citi. And he says, I just looked at Citi, that's S-Y-D-I, and that's the Citi project, and noticed that there are a lot of parameters that you can use with it. Now, Citi is the tool that's a collection of scripts to help you document a network and get information on workstations and servers. I just wondered if you could give an example of what you look at when running it. Or maybe you could give an example, a string that could get me started for investigating a network for the first time. It looks like this is only for server networks, so use this for PCs as well. Yes, I use it for PCs because if you do not have a domain, you can create a text file of all of the names on the peer network and then feed that text file into the line of the script that you're going to execute. I go over that in great detail in a show a while back, and I will link that. I will dig that link up for that show, and I will email you that, Tim. Thanks for writing in. So I did cover that. This is from MS Small Business. For those users of NetStumbler, NetStumbler is a great utility of finding the networks, wireless networks. Once you move to Windows 7, you will probably find it no longer works. In search of a replacement, I found Insider. And it not only works, I think most will find it works better than NetStumbler. For example, on the interface, I took a screenshot of an area around my home and allowed it to scan for around 10 minutes. What I was looking for was anything related to issues with my main connection, and that's shown in yellow. I run two APs, as one is my primary and the other is my tech bench for PCs. I bring in and work on, and also to provide access to a WEP-only device I have. I selected both of my wireless APs and one of my neighbors and let it scan them for a bit, and wow, could you clearly see I have a problem with my primary AP. What I thought was likely a problem with my notebook dropping connections clearly shows it's not my notebook but my primary AP, which is dropping out while at the same time other AP signals remain strong. Anyway, I thought some users might find this tool helpful, along with the screenshot showing the crappy D-Link drops while the low-end TrendNet kept on going. The D-Link, for reference, is $150 business product, while the TrendNet was a Newegg $15 discounted item. What's worse is the D-Link has a 9 dB external antenna on it versus the stock junk, while the TrendNet has only the stock antenna, yet it's clearly the stronger signal, while they are separated by no more than 7 feet in the same room. Isn't that great? I will have links to both those programs. That's a great idea for, hey, checking out the strength and checking out your access points. A few weeks ago, I mentioned a camera problem I was having. Now, Scott recommends this, and I looked at the pictures that he sent with this, and it's not a joke, but this is one of those emails, before I read it, I must caution. Please be very careful in wanting to try this. It's like, don't try this at home, okay? It's one of those emails. Mike, I heard you talk on a recent show. You said that you had a digital camera that was not functioning correctly, putting purple all over the pictures. I may have a solution for you. Now, what I said was it was purple shadow just on the right side of the photograph. Now, what he sent me was it was just a purple mess with his camera. Last summer, I went to visit the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon, and I did the walking trail. I brought my camera with me, a Kodak Z1085IS. Along the way, the path was slippery, and as I was walking down the hill, I slipped and fell, and my camera fell to the ground. It dropped into the dirt and grass from about 3 feet high. The camera was a little dirty, but seemed to be fine, so I brushed it off, put it back in my pocket. Later, when I got to the waterfalls, I pulled out my camera to take a picture. I turned it on, and the LCD was all dark and purple. Uh-oh, looks like that fall did do something. I tried taking pictures, and he attached the example, and found that it too turned out purple on every picture. At first, I thought just the LCD was bad, but when I played back some pictures I had taken earlier, they played back just fine in full color, so I knew the LCD was fine. It had to be the lens. The lens looked fine, not cracked or out of place. Zoom functioned fine too. What could be wrong? At this point, I was resting on a bench trying to fix the camera and gave up. I figured I had nothing to lose as there is something wrong with the lens and there is no way to fix it. I'll just have to buy a new camera. So with nothing to lose, I took out the SD card and batteries and I chucked the camera on the ground. This time on a wooden deck that was below the benches. I was angry, but I didn't throw it too hard. About the same force of when it hit the ground the first time from my pocket. Out of curiosity, I put the batteries back in and turned it on, the camera, and believe it or not, it worked. By jarring the lens a second time, whatever was out of place got back into alignment and the lens was able to take full color pictures again. To test it, I took another picture of the same thing also attached and you'll see the difference. So, as crazy as it sounds, simply throwing my camera on the ground fixed it. And it worked without a problem for the last 6 months. Not sure if this technique will fix yours, but if you have nothing to lose, it's worth a shot. If you get a camera working or already fixed it, please let me know what worked. I haven't actually worked on the problem yet. But I know when I look through the lens, I don't see the purple. The lens and the LCD display is perfect. It's only after taking the picture that I get the purple, and it's not every picture. I think it's a setting on the camera in combination with the different lighting, and it's not all pictures. And that's why it's driving me crazy, though it's most of them. So I think I have to learn more about the settings on the camera than anything else. So I think this is a pilot error as opposed to some kind of a defect. Well, thanks, and I hope you find this story helpful and humorous. But this is true, and this is from Scott. Scott, thanks for sharing that. Certainly, when it comes to baking video cards, freezing hard drives, make sure that it is absolutely your last-ditch effort. We can add now throwing the camera to the ground, but it is a last-ditch effort. You already have to be at the point before you do these extreme fixes. That summer lure, I think, some might have really happened. But before you do something so extreme, you got to make sure that you're at that last step before throwing it in the trash can. Because I guarantee you that many times it will make it worse than fix the problem. Hi, Mike. Hope all is well with you. As always, I value your shows greatly. This is from Brian. I know that you and Carrie like Acronis, and I do too. But I wanted to bring out one of its flaws to your attention and your audience. Full and incremental backups work great, but consolidating incremental backups are useless. Full backups take about 2 hours. Incremental backups take 5 to 10 minutes. Consolidating incremental backups take, I kid you not, 4 days. Of course, to not use up all the space on a backup drive, you have to limit the number of backups. That is what the consolidate feature is supposed to do. The only solution is to do repeated full backups or full backups and incrementals for a short period of time so as to not to fill up the drive, and then start over with full and incrementals every so often. The program can do this automatically, but that means that once in a while you have to do a full backup. This becomes particularly unrealistic in an environment where you need to back up laptops that move between office and home unpredictably. Please also let me know if you have anything to add regarding this. Thanks for the show. Brian, I am challenged with a client that has Acronis, and I am actually experiencing what you're experiencing. And I opt for doing the fulls every week and then blowing away the last full. Forget about the incrementals. I am looking for an alternative to recommend my client into where they have 15 workstations. They all have to be backed up, and I'm looking for an efficient way to be able to back them up properly. I don't want to introduce a Windows Home Server. So even though that's what I'm looking for, and I'm looking for that in a server environment, for an office, I'm just looking for an alternative to Acronis and Windows Home Server that can successfully back up all of the desktops on a continuous basis where I don't have to go crazy with the storage. I'm also looking for that, and I'm looking into a couple things that I'll report back. And if you have anything to contribute on this topic, please let us know, because this is something that I am looking into Shadow Protect for the solution. But that gets costly, because you got to buy a lot of licenses for that. And really, I guess with anything, it's gonna cost. This is also from Brian, and he says, I was shocked when I heard you describing problems with your printer. This is the printer problem with my client that we solved a couple weeks ago. I was having the same problem with the same printer. I decided to move it to another computer, and that got it back online. But this printer really caused USB and all sorts of problems on the computer it was connected to. Now, when he moved it and it worked, which is what I did, that's because it was now a printer directory with the spooler files not corrupted. That's what happened there. Email from Winston, a great link here for dual monitor tools. And this is the dual monitor tools is a software package for Windows users with dual or multiple monitor setups. All the tools are open source and free, and each tool is independent, so you only need to install or run what you want, and that's at dualmonitortool.sourceforge.net. Thank you, Winston, for that. And I'm already playing with the tools, so something to definitely check out. Couple items before I get to the music portion. I have some software. I have a license for software that I'm going to be giving away, and this is for the new Laplink PC Mover Image Assistant. The PC Mover Image Assistant software. This license will go to one of the users, to one of you who follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. And what I would like you to do is tweet hash, that's the pound sign, MTS contest. Tweet that at MikeTechShow and say, I'm entering pound MTS contest. Tweet that. So follow me on Twitter, tweet that. I will collect all of those tweets and I will pick a winner. Follow Mike Tech Show, put at Mike Tech Show, and then pound MTS contest. I will search for everybody who puts the pound, which is the hashtag MTS contest. I will collect all of that. Everybody who's done that, next week I'll pick a winner and they'll get the license for this. That, I want to thank Paul, who will get a prize for recommending that for a contest. And we discussed that in the pre-show, so that was great. So thank you very much for that, Paul. Now, you got Father's Day. It's coming up. And if you can't decide what to buy for that father in your life, how about getting an Amazon gift card? I'm going to have a link to buy an Amazon gift card using my link, and that is a gift that, hey, Dad can pick out anything he wants on Amazon because there's lots of great choices. I love Amazon, and I know you do because so many of you use my Amazon link, and I want to thank you all for continuing to use that link for buying Amazon products. The song that I'm going to play for tonight is the full song that has the chorus that is sung every time the Flyers score a goal at the Wachovia Center. This chorus is what is sung, but I don't believe that everybody understands the roots of this song. At the end of the song, I'm going to tell you where the song came from and why. And then, but I give a listen. It's an interesting song. And the chorus is great when you hear all of the people sing it. And it's the second time the chorus is sung. That is what is played when the Flyers score a goal. Yes, I was disappointed the Flyers did not win the Stanley Cup. But I enjoyed the wild ride that I was on. All of the playoff games and the Stanley Cup game that I attended and that my kids attended. I had a tremendous time. And I am so proud of the Flyers, and I congratulate the Chicago Blackhawks, who played great and deserve to win. The Flyers have given me such great pleasure this year, and they had a tremendous run in the playoffs, and I really enjoyed it. And this is just my little tribute. Enjoy. By the way, the song is called Bro Him and the group Pennywise.
To all my friends present, past and beyond, especially those who weren't with us too long. Life is the most precious thing you can lose. While you were here, the fun was never ending. Life a minute was only beginning. Count of Coleman Nichols, this one's for you. We'll be there, no hesitation. Brotherhood's our rule, we cannot bend. When you're feeling too close to the bottom, you know who it is you can count on. Someone will pick you up again. We can conquer anything together. All of us are bonded forever. If I die, you die. That's the way it is. And past and beyond, to all those who weren't with us too long, life's the most precious thing that you can lose. While you were here, the fun was never ending. Laugh a minute was only the beginning. Get on, Coleman Nichols, this one's for you.
The song is Bro, B-R-O, him, and the group Pennywise. The song was written by the lead vocalist of Pennywise. Three of his closest friends were killed in a car accident, in a tragic accident, and he wrote that song in the mid-90s as a dedication to them. And I don't know how it became adopted by the Flyers, but the Flyers adopted the chorus of that song. Whoa, 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 whoa. And everybody sings that in unison after a goal is scored. That's where that comes from. And I want to thank everybody for downloading and listening to the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Don't forget, continue to support Bryce over at Tech Nibble and the Mike Tech Show by buying the computer business kit. We really appreciate it. Thank you so very, very much. And also the laptop repair videos, all the videos that Steve from Podnuts has just done an incredible job on putting together for building your tech website. That's it. Someone asked about the clue. The clue for Podcast Madness is still madness. That's it. I will talk to you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.